You are listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka.
All right, let's get it out there right now. Let's start the Tuesday show by saying, I wish I had a subscription to Gentleman's Quarterly magazine. I really do. I wish I had GQ magazine coming to my house and me paying for it so I could pick up the phone and call them and cancel it. That's really how I feel today. I felt this late yesterday when I saw the Colin Kaepernick thing. And then I realized not only Colin Kaepernick and the award giving him, what was it, Human Being of the Year, the best person on the planet? Does GQ realize they skipped over other football players like J.J. Watt, who raised more than $37 million to help the victims of the hurricane, but they gave it to this jackwagon? And on top of it, GQ is also paying for Keith Olbermann to rant with profanities and insults against the president virtually every single day. So GQ, I wish I were a customer so I could tell you to get stuffed. All in all, I think this is just GQ's way of getting attention, because let's face it, the magazine business stinks, and you're never going to draw in enough people just on Keith Olbermann's hate of Donald Trump. And that's where I am this morning. Good morning. It's going to be a busy day in the mainstream media, as you already know, with the Attorney General sitting down with a congressional hearing. There's rumors about him and the Alabama Senate seat. There's more stories about the Roy Moore thing. But there are stories we need to update from yesterday and questions we need to clarify. Now, yesterday's vital question here on the Pure Opelka Daily Vital Question had to do with your going to church and worshiping in a church where parishioners are encouraged to exercise their Second Amendment rights. I'm happy to report that an overwhelming majority of you, 94% of you, said, yeah, I'll go to church where legal gun owners are allowed to carry. That makes sense to me. Sure. Good for you. Now, today's is a little more confusing. There's a survey out that asked people, would you consider not doing gifts for the holiday season? In other words, skip the gift-giving part of the holidays. Virtually 70% of you answered the survey saying, yes, we would love to skip the gift-giving part. So I'm asking you, where do you stand? Would you like to skip the gifts, keep the gift-giving going, or just give gifts to the kids, or you can't make up your damn mind? Currently in the early voting, 19% of you say skip the gift giving, 27% are staying right in it, and 54%, the overwhelming majority, says let's back off the gifts for the grown-ups and just do it for the kids. Interestingly enough, 0% in the undecided portion. 0%. Everyone's got an opinion on holiday gift giving. More on this tomorrow with the final results. Observation time, Pure Opelka observation time. I think the comedy community is finally getting back to balanced attacks. Why do I say this? Well, a couple weeks ago, Dana Carvey, in an interview, chided Saturday Night Live for its obsession with Donald Trump. And Carvey warned them about going too far and doing just too much of a constant, endless attack on Donald Trump without going after the other side. Well, what happened this past weekend? SNL actually had a sketch that mocked Democrats for being the party of old white people. Did you catch it?
You love our fresh new ideas delivered by fresh new faces like me, Nancy Pelosi.
And me, Dianne Feinstein.
And me, Chuck Schumer.
Y yo soy Tim Kaine.
And I'm team player Donna Brazile.
And we also have some great new leaders waiting in the wings, like hot young thing Elizabeth Warren. again. And also, that's right.
It's Biden time.
And I'm still around too.
That brutal 3-minute plus sketch tore at the heart of the Democratic authority, right at the leaders of the party. And it pointed out the biggest problem they have. Entrenched Washington elites, all of them in their 70s. I think the youngest person they mentioned was Elizabeth Warren, and she's about to turn 70. So the Democrats can't be happy about that. But you know what? It's good for comedy. It's very good for all of us when everybody gets made fun of. If we stop making fun of any group, then we are suppressing speech. I was also surprised to see a sketch from Family Guy getting sent around the Twitter universe and around the Facebook universe this week. It's Seth MacFarlane's show, and I don't think of Seth MacFarlane as a guy who will take shots at liberals. And yet, in the sketch that MRC posted on their site, in the scene from Family Guy, it rips apart the social justice warriors. It just absolutely takes them apart and roasts them beautifully. Now, the scene, if you're not familiar with the show, features Brian the dog facing off against a bunch of social justice warriors who are claiming to be mad at the... Now, this is a talking dog. Yes, I know how ridiculous it is. But the social justice warriors have gathered in front of the house and they are there to shut him down. But he delivers a brilliant takedown of all of the arguments from the snowflakes. Check this one out.
Hello. As you all know, I'm Brian Griffin.
Boo! Boo! Brian Griffin! Boo!
I want to read a few words.
Boo! Liar! Boo! Brian Griffin! Boo!
Anyway, I want to...
Apologize somewhere else. Boo! Boo! Brian! Boo!
To me, that's quite genius. What he's doing is showing that the social justice warriors don't want an honest exchange of ideas. They just want silence. They want to shut down anybody whose speech does not agree with theirs. He then goes on to have the talking dog, Brian, attempt to read his apology, only to be shut down by the social justice gender police.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today to apologize.
Why did you say ladies first? That's sexist.
It's just a standard greeting. Let me start over. Gentlemen and ladies.
Who says the man?
Okay, sorry. I humans in the audience.
I identify as a basketball.
Humans and basketballs.
I'm a parrot who mimics words but doesn't comprehend them.
Humans, basketballs, talking parrots, and whatever else is out there.
Whatever? It's whoever.
Actually, it's whomever. No one likes you, Mary.
In under a minute, this animated sketch has torn apart some of the basic, stupid arguments brought forth by the social justice warriors. But there's still more to come. And eventually, Brian, the talking dog, brings more clarity as he takes on the snowflakes. They get a little offended. They accuse him of tone policing. And then one of the snowflakes declares that anything they don't agree with should be illegal in 2017. Ridiculous, and yet it's kind of how they feel, isn't it?
That makes me uncomfortable. Anything that makes me uncomfortable in 2017 should be illegal.
You know what? I'm not a racist, all right? I just told a bad joke. There's a huge difference, but nobody on the internet ever takes the time to ask themselves, is this worth freaking out over? Or are there bigger problems in the world than this tweet? Well, I assure you, there are. And just for the record, I love black people. I watch tons of black porn. So what do you all want from me? Huh? You want to ruin my life? Then congratulations, you did it. Everybody hates me. I can't leave the house without getting harassed. No one will hire me.
That was a problem before.
I can't turn on my phone without strangers telling me to kill myself or that they're going to kill my family. Leave me alone! I'm the self-righteous liberal douchebag, not you! I've kissed a transsexual before! How many of you can say that? Where's my medal? I am so far left, I'm spinning in circles, you Instead of killing myself, I should kill all of you!
Seth MacFarlane, the guy behind Family Guy, is not a conservative. Not even close to being a conservative. And yet, he ripped ripped into the social justice warriors, tore apart their arguments, showed them the ridiculousness of half of their statements and how their language is actually suppressing freedom and not pushing for more freedom. That was wonderful. Thank you, Seth MacFarlane. And thank you, SNL, for realizing you can poke fun at both sides. Because frankly, both sides deserve it. And you're not going to run out of material. You won't have Trump fatigue. Maybe they did take Dana Carvey's advice after all. By the way, we are going to have an update on that story out of Delaware that I told you about yesterday. The story about the school rule that is being debated for the next 30 days that will allow kids, without their parents' input, to select their gender and their race. Gender and race. Kids can pick any given day. Any race, any gender, whatever, and the parents don't have to get involved. We'll talk to the woman who's leading the fight against the craziness in just a little bit. But I have some more crazy news. Look, I understand the desire to have a world record, but I want it to be like the fastest car, the highest dive. The world's longest mustache doesn't really seem to be up there on the same level as being able to run fast or drive the fastest car. Really, the world's longest mustache, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, is 18.5 feet. Think about that, 18.5 feet from tip to tip, extending out just over 9 feet on either side of the face of Ram Singh, a 62-year-old man from India. Mr. Singh has won the world's longest mustache title. That's not so easy to say, is it? The world's longest mustache title for 7 years in a row. 7 years in a row. Now, here's where I just start turning my stomach at this. Granted, he has not snipped the ends of his mustache since 1970. Let that sink in. 47 years. He spends 2 hours a day reportedly moisturizing his mustache with coconut oil. And he only washes it. Are you sitting down? Seriously. He only washes it twice a month. I've had a mustache and a beard. I've had some pretty substantial mustaches and beards. And I can tell you, when you eat, stuff gets in your mustache. Your mustache can stink. He only washes it twice a month. Mr. Singh, I'm guessing you're single. See what I did there? There are more dummies in the news. A Florida man who ended up causing an 8-hour standoff with cops. 8-hour standoff with cops told the police he was really just trying to get rid of some rats in his backyard. 51-year-old Stephen Jonas allegedly firing a gun in his home in Palm Harbor, Florida, 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. So, you know, we got to think this is really not Sunday morning. This is still Saturday night for somebody who might have been overserved. A neighbor called in the report of gunshots fired, repeated gunshots fired. Police had to actually surround the house, setting up a perimeter. And for hours, they tried to get a hold of him. He finally came out of the house and said he was trying to kill the rats inside by shooting inside his own house. These are people who should not have guns. And I'm a pro Second Amendment guy. When I read this next story, I thought this has to be from The Onion or one of those places that writes satirical stories that appear to be news stories, but it's not. This is absolutely 100% legit, 100% true. It's just totally ripe for parody and mocking. The story, the headline reads, and it's under the section of luxury travel on the Bloomberg.com site, "Coming soon to Washington, D.C., an anti-Trump hotel for liberals." Let that sink in. An anti-Trump hotel for liberals. The subhead from Nikki Eckstein reads, expect counterculture art, progressive fireside chats, and craft materials for your next great protest poster. All right, first of all, that's a fail. Those protest posters, nobody makes them anymore. They're pre-printed. They even have a font that looks like a magic marker. So that's a fail there. But this is actually coming to Washington, D.C. in the spring of 2018. It's going to be called the Eaton Workshop. I don't know what to say. Seriously, people, an anti-Trump hotel for liberals? Are you going to call it the Snowflake Hotel? The Snowflake Inn? Or is this going to be the Pussy Hat Protest Hotel? Maybe there's a suite you can get, which comes with a free knitted cap and the little kitty cat ears. This is insane to be doing this. This is going to separate us further. It's going to create more of a divide. I guess, you know, in order to be fair, because that's what these people are all about, fairness, the anti-Trump hotel for liberals, it's going to, all the rooms are going to be the exact same size, right? They have to be. I wonder if you'll be required to leave a credit card from your mother in order to secure the room. Yes, it's a shot to some of the snowflakes who are still living in their parents' basements, playing video games and opining online. Again, opening in late spring. They also have a plan to open additional anti-Trump hotels for liberals in other communist cities like San Francisco and Seattle. Good luck. How ironic would it be if Trump actually waited for them to go bankrupt and then bought the properties and put his name on top of them? It could happen. My favorite story of the day comes out of Kazakhstan and involves the word mankini, because are there funnier words in the English language than the word mankini? I might say it all day today. Mankini! Mankini would be a great magician, wouldn't it? The great mankini! The mankini wearing six Czechoslovakian tourists who thought they were being clever, dressing up as Borat, were arrested in Kazakhstan. The group thought it was hilarious to put on those mankinis that Sacha Baron Cohen wore as the character of Borat in the movie. And they went to the capital city of Astana in Kazakhstan, and they were immediately arrested. They were fined 22,500 tenge. That's the currency in Kazakhstan, which works out to about $67. I would wear a Borat mankini if the fine was only $67 and I didn't have to spend any time in jail. I love this story. The Kazakhs, the Kazakh people, were debating over this, thought it was abusive or insensitive. Some people wanted them jailed. Some people want further criminal charges for insulting the honor of the nation. In 2006, so we're 11 years away from when Sacha Baron Cohen wrote and produced this ridiculous movie. What was it called? It had a great title. Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. So the mankini, I'm going to say it again, mankini. Six tourists from Czechoslovakia fined $67 each for wearing mankinis in the capital of Kazakhstan. Good for you. As we are knocking out the podcast today, I have been monitoring a couple of things happening that relate to our government. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States, has been facing one good question, then one bad question, as Republicans and Democrats from the House grill him like a cheese sandwich. And I will tell you, it's just so rude to see some of the partisanship. And I know when it's the Democrats in charge and they're talking to a Democrat, it absolutely flips the other way. But we don't have to be this rude. And some of these representatives are just grandstanding so they can have a soundbite for their campaign ad coming up in 2018. It makes me really sick. It also makes me understand that if the FCC ever imposed this Fairness Act that so many Democrats want, talk radio would stink. And if you don't know what the Fairness Act is, it would mandate that for every hour of conservative programming you have on a station, you would also have to have an hour of liberal programming. And that's just awful. It's so against the free market system. I've worked in conservative radio forever. I also worked briefly in liberal radio on something called Air America. It stunk on ice, but it was a job I needed to take. They were asking me to create a radio show that would bring in middle-of-the-road people. And it was a show I produced with Montel Williams, produced and co-hosted with Montel. But there weren't people interested in listening to that, especially liberals. They hated what we did. They used to scowl at us. And that's where I wrote my mantra for my talk radio career: the truth has no agenda. And I firmly believe that. But I've been watching Jeff Sessions. It's stomach-turning to watch this go on, because you realize nobody in the government is actually doing anything. They're all out there grandstanding, both sides. So let's cut the crap, can we? The other thing I noticed, the president is on Air Force One headed back home after this extended trip to Asia. And there will be a big announcement on Wednesday. Hopefully we'll be able to get chunks of that for you on the podcast. But the president also covered a really important story that's gotten almost no attention. And that's the story out of China. Three stars from the UCLA basketball team were arrested and charged with shoplifting at a Louis Vuitton store in China. The three players, LiAngelo Ball, whose brother is a rookie in the NBA, he's a big star, Lonzo Ball, but it was LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill. They apparently were attempting to steal sunglasses a week ago from the Louis Vuitton store, and China locked them up and said, you're going to jail for 10 years, possibly 10 years. It appears that Donald Trump has used his presidential negotiating skills to get them released, and they're on their way home. I wonder if they will thank the president. I have to ask these guys, what the hell were you thinking? You're representing your school. They're probably all scholarship athletes, right? They're also representing America because they are touring in China, and you go shoplifting? I know, innocent until proven guilty, but there are sources reported on ESPN that surveillance footage of the mall from at least three high-end stores like Gucci, Yves Saint Laurent, and Louis Vuitton show the players shoplifting in at least three stores. These guys are damn lucky Donald Trump was there, and damn lucky they're on a plane headed home. History is coming up in just a second, but the word of the day, let's face it, is there a better word of the day than mankini? No, there isn't. The word of the day is mankini. It is a noun, and if you actually go to your dictionary, chances are you're going to find a definition. And it says, early 21st century word, a blend of man and bikini, a brief one-piece swimsuit for men with a T-back. He wandered down the beach in his mankini to the amazement of onlookers. Mankini. I actually tested the internet to see if it was keeping up with words like this and sought a pronunciation of mankini. Most of them got it right, but one of my sources actually had it wrong. Listen to this one.
Mankini.
No.
Mankini.
It's mankini.
Mankini.
Yet another example of why the coming robot revolution is so darn dangerous. They can't get the pronunciation of mankini right. The AI is not as I as it thought. Checking out the history file for November 14th, on this day back in the day, what happened? Do you ever look back? Well, we do it every single day. That's one of the things we like to do, is look to history for lessons. For example, on this date in 1851, Herman Melville published Moby Dick. It was published in New York, and it was not that big of a hit when it first came out. And by the way, there's a discussion going on. Whenever I hear Moby Dick, I think of what I believe to be the opening line of the novel, "Call me Ishmael," right? Well, now there's a bunch of scholars saying, no, it's technically not the opening line. Moby Dick doesn't really begin with "Call me Ishmael." They're saying that there are a couple of chapters or intros before the actual story starts. So people are going to argue about it. "Call me Ishmael." I say it's the opening line. People like the folks at debunker.com say, no, it's not real. There are two other chapters ahead of chapter one. Well, I give Melville credit for calling it chapter one. That's where the book starts. The other stuff, that's things you're supposed to read before you start the book. The extracts and the etymology, not chapter one. It'll always be "Call Me Ishmael" for me. You want to argue about that? Go ahead. Send me an email. Also, on this date in 1969, just a couple of months after the Americans showed the rest of the world what it was like to be the leaders in technology and innovation and courage when we went to the moon and had men land on the moon, walk on the moon, and come back. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, you remember that? Apollo 11. Well, it was on this date in 1969, just a few months after Apollo 11, we sent Apollo 12 up. Do you remember who was on that spacecraft? Do you remember the two astronauts who walked on the moon? There were three crew members, because you have to have one guy circling the planet waiting to pick everybody up. It was Charles Conrad, Richard Gordon, and Alan Bean who made it up to the moon. Bean and Conrad walked on the moon. They were the lucky ones in Apollo 12's lunar lander. But nobody remembers them. Nobody remembers who were the third and fourth people to walk on the moon. So I salute them. By the way, Apollo 12 almost had a tragedy. As it launched, it was hit by lightning. And thank God the systems ultimately reset because the engines didn't shut down. The rockets kept blasting through. But luckily, very luckily, they made it all the way up and back safely. Also on this date in 1979, Jimmy Carter did something that we just undid. Jimmy Carter froze all the Iranian assets in the United States shortly after Iran seized the American embassy and was holding 50 Americans hostage and held them for 444 days. So Carter froze the assets. And guess what? That's part of the Iranian deal. We gave them all their stuff back. I still think we should have kept those assets and split them between the families of the 50 hostages, survivors and or the children of those 50 hostages. That would have been a better way to deal with that, given Iran all that money back. Joining me today is a new friend, a kindred spirit I met yesterday after I started the show right out of the blocks talking about a problem here in Delaware. The problem being a proposed school rule that would allow children to select their genders and their race without any parental involvement. And we talked briefly yesterday about how the actual wording of this regulation, this rule, this proposed change and insane change actually takes the parents out of the equation and kind of demonizes them. Makes the parents the bad guys here. But I needed more information. I needed a bigger brain than mine to handle this, someone who's deeply involved in it. So I tracked down the Delaware Family Policy Council's president, Nicole Tice, who joins me today. Nicole, welcome to Pure Opelka. Happy to have you here, neighbor.
Hey, thank you, Mike. It's a real pleasure. I'm excited to has met you in our little state of Delaware and excited about being on your show. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Isn't it funny how tiny this state is? And for those of you listening in, it really is insanely small. I can drive all three Delaware counties in just a couple hours. And I don't know how many other people can say that in their state, but you know, it has its advantages and its disadvantages. Sometimes it's too small, but the intimate nature of our state allows us to gather our resources together quickly and fight things like this. Now, I'm stunned about this proposal, Nicole. I'm absolutely stunned that Regulation 225 is even being discussed the way they're doing this. Is there any hope to prevent this from becoming reality?
Well, in this situation, Mike, I think that the parents are boss. And when parents step up en masse and push back, they're going to be heard. And we've never had an issue come up quite like this, where we see this much reaction as we do with this one. So we're really encouraging parents to wake up and to understand what is going on in the ideology that's being pushed in the classroom. It's not new. It's been happening for some time, but it's been very much cloaked, if you will. But there's definitely a different ideology that's being thwarted and pushed through. And so if you go to our website, DelawareFamilies.org, and click on our blog there, we've listed just examples across the country. We've listed examples in Delaware where this new idea about gender is being taught in our schools as early as kindergarten. And so, and not all teachers do this, but for the activist teacher that comes in, there is definitely a clear pathway to talk to children about this without their parents' knowledge. And now you take it a step further with this regulation that says, well, once we've introduced the confusion, our words, and then once children start to feel confused, and maybe they think they want to self-identify at any age, they want to self-identify their gender or their race, they can, and the school may or may not contact you as the parent. And if they deem you unsupportive or a non-ally, then they can just move forward with your child's new self-identity without your participation or consent as a parent.
Wow.
The regulation speaks for itself. People should go read it and really question, okay, well, what's the definition of unsupportive and who's deciding that, for example? But the language clearly speaks for itself.
This sounds like an authoritarian government gone totally off the rails. This sounds like a dictatorship saying, well, you are now deemed to be unsupportive. You are now deemed to be a negative influence on the child. We shall go forward with your child's education, and it doesn't matter what you, the parent, think. My mind is blown about this. And I guess, Nicole, I'm asking you, I know why it matters in Delaware, but why does it matter to people in California listening to this show? Why does it matter to people in Rhode Island listening to this show? Why should people be upset and tracking your website, jumping onto DelawareFamilies.org? Help me.
Well, if that mindset and thinking is permitted in a state like Delaware, then it's not going to be long before the ripple effect is going to go throughout the country. You have the unions who are very much in support of. In 2011, I think it is, Mike, there was a resolution by the NEA that redefined gender, which is, I don't want to get off track too far here, but I just want to say that people definitely need to watch the trends here. We tried to capture some stories from across the nation because it's not just a Delaware thing. Delaware's regulation is getting attention because it's the first state to include race, that you can self-identify your gender and your race. So we have people saying, well, why not your age? Why can't you self-identify all of it? You know, just where does this stop? Where does the confusion stop? And how is it that we can be okay with introducing these confusing ideas and then expect there not to be a backlash from it and expect there not to be issues from it once the child starts to, you know, think about it and starts to feel even more confusion than what they already feel as they work through their their childhood and their pre-adolescent and adolescent stages. So people definitely need to be paying attention. But go to DelawareFamilies.org. Check out that blog. We've listed some great resources to help parents. We're going to be updating it continuously. And we'll even put in some models, some policy that we think that school parents should take to school boards and to have implemented to protect the privacy of all students. So keep looking for that update.
Well, I love the fact that this is a privacy issue, and it should be one of those things that is constitutionally protected, and parental rights should be something that are sacrosanct in this country. But I also look at this and I say, where's the backlash from some of the communities of color about this? You can pick your own race now. I will tell you, Nicole, when I read a story that has someone saying, you can't wear hoop earrings because you are culturally appropriating Black culture, or you can't wear the nameplate across your chest that some people have on a gold chain because that's cultural appropriation, I shake my head and I say, what the heck is going on? But now we're saying you can not just appropriate a culture, but you can declare yourself to be another race. And the schools are endorsing it. The parents have no input on it. It's madness. How much time do we have before we stop this rule? How much time is left to comment on this problem?
Great question. I'm so glad you brought that up. December 4th is the cutoff. And so the regulation is posted, and by law, we have 30 days to comment. That ending day is December 4th, but we're coming into the holiday season. So we're asking folks to go and sign the petition, to comment about it, to be respectful, because the comments do get published, but to stick to the issue. The issue is large enough and powerful enough to say, you know, to push back on this as a parental rights issue, and to stop teaching this ideology in our schools. And so I would just keep the message simple, but please get it out there and be firm and be respectful, and just go to DelawareFamilies.org to engage. And certainly we need thousands more in Delaware to engage and to be heard on this and to keep watching, because we do expect there to be some legislative efforts in January that will need the attention of all parents. And they're going to have to be very watchful and of the language of some of these bills that are coming out. Right now, this is a regulation, so it's not in the legislature. This is something that only the Secretary of Education, Susan Bunting, and the Governor of Delaware, Governor Carney, they're the only ones who can pull back on this. So, you know, we just encourage people to let their thoughts be heard on this and to use the system that we have to do just that. We've made it as easy as we possibly can.
Nicole Tice is with us. She's the president of the Delaware Family Policy Council. And if you go to DelawareFamilies.org, if you're outside of Delaware, there's something really important here. There's a link in the corner for the Allied Partner Family Policy Alliance. There are other states that have similar setups, don't they? Other states where parents can say, hey, we need to get involved in stuff like this. You talk to these folks all the time. So there is not a national organization, but there are connected state organizations, correct?
Correct. We have 40 state-based organizations. They're across the country. The Alliance recognizes one group in each state that is the go-to group, the credible group, sustainable, credible, connected network. And so we highly encourage people to link up with these organizations. They're run by fabulous people of integrity and who care very deeply about the family and the destruction of the family, preserving the family, and also about protecting our faith and our freedoms. So we encourage people to check out your state-based family policy council. And I definitely can go to our website to find out more about that.
DelawareFamilies.org. Ms. Dice, I appreciate you. I'm happy to hear a neighbor is as engaged and as really up on this topic as you are. So keep us posted. When we get closer to December 4th, I will check in with you again, and we'll see where we stand on this fight.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, Mike. We wish you the absolute best. Thank you for engaging with us. We look forward to talking with you more.
That's going to wrap up today's edition of Pure Opelka. Make sure you share it with your friends. Get the download. Tell everybody. We need to grow this podcast even bigger. And by the way, Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday, Dr. Jorge has already emailed me. He wants to talk blood pressure. The government's new standards makes almost half of us guilty, or patients with high blood pressure. So is it a scam by the pharmaceutical industry? That's kind of where I'm going. He has a different opinion. And we're going to talk about this new herb that's supposed to be able to help people kick heroin addiction, but it might be something even more dangerous. You have to be here. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.